You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here. If you want to stop feeling lost and start conquering your goals, then pick up this wonderful destiny diary to document your days, known as the Going North Advancement Compass, on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we've got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth going today, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed. That's right indeed, because we got another wonderful international guest, y'all. That's right indeed. She's hailing all the way from Italy, y'all. That's right indeed. So Leaning Towers Romance, and knows how to seduce you with your words all in one. And she definitely knows how to seduce the words, because she's also a bookcaster, y'all, because she's not only put pen to paper to become an author, but she's also a fellow podcast host as well. And she's also a communication expert, public speaker, a marketing and creative startup coach, and the founder, y'all. The founder, she found something, y'all. She's a pirate. She found something. She's the founder of the Creative Startup Academy. So let's give it up for the CM herself, the fabulous Christine Michaelis. How you doing today, Christine?
Oh, I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Excited to have you. I'm like, oh, hey, it's another inbox bitch. Oh, she's smiling in a photo. Okay, good. Oh, man, she seems like she's fun. And I'm like, oh, and we hopped on the call. Like, oh, God, yes. Sense of humor. All right. We have a winner. We have a gold star already. I'm like, she's in.
And a pirate.
That's right, indeed. And the good news is she doesn't have wood on her. Even though a lot of people would. It ain't about what, it's about Christine. So my goodness, as with all introductions, are not allowed to be 78 days long, and probably only covered, I don't know, 78 seconds. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you?
No, I'm also the founder of Let's Talk, another company. I just recently launched that. So just whilst we're recording that, it's a month old. So I'm publisher of a magazine that's also new. So apart from that, all said. Oh, I have many tortoise, baby tortoise that sleep at the moment. And I have a co-founder that's a fluffy unicorn called Gavin. There you go.
Well, someone's got a magazine too. Funny enough, time of this recording a couple weeks ago, Felicity Nicole, she has a magazine called She Is You. So what inspired you to start a magazine?
I wanted one that I want to read myself. So that's usually what I do, create things that I love to have myself, use myself, read myself. So that's why I wrote pretty much all of the books that I wrote, and that's why I came up with that magazine, which is aimed at entrepreneurs and is a bit different to any other magazine out there, as far as I know. There might be similar ones, but yeah, there's lots in there that shows also personality, and also it's just using pictures that I took. So it's like when I have the printed copy in my hands, I think like, yeah, okay, it's like a photo album for myself. of all the lovely landscapes where I've been.
That's a world traveler to boot. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. So did at the age of 13, was that something you always loved to do? It was right.
Yeah, always. Love talking to people, meeting new people, helping people, supporting people, love with people, and yeah, transfer some knowledge if possible to help them and yeah, move forward in their life and not make the mistakes, or not say mistakes, but let's to avoid certain challenges that I went through maybe.
What kind of challenges?
Well, first of all, when you're starting out in business, that can be very difficult, can be very lonely, and we all go through the same challenges anyway, no matter in what kind of business you're starting. Let's call it work-life balance, which I know is a buzzword that's overused, but it is people know what I'm talking about in that way sense. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you usually don't switch off. You love what you do. And you just do too much of it, you burn out slowly. And that can be very difficult to put boundaries in and to have a life outside of your business, if you know what I mean. So it's important to switch off. And me, I was very close to burnout. I was also in the same time where I was working too much, misdiagnosed with a brain tumor, which changed everything. The way I see things, the way I structured my day, the way I cut down on work and not work 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, making more time for loved ones, so friends, partner, family, and so on. And these are all things that I hope people will take into consideration before something happens as well. So also one of my books was inspired by that to, yeah, help people to live life to the fullest and happier life before something happens that might have a negative effect on you, because that's usually when people, let's say, wake up and do reprioritize life and other things above work. That's important, but not as important as health and people around you.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Funny enough, even though it's not a funny situation at all, actually reminded me of the like a book I read called Leading on Empty by Wayne Cadaria, where it's like the pastor was working so hard and doing so much that he basically collapsed while he was giving a sermon because he was working too darn hard and he was suffering from burnout. And with you yourself, 16 hours a day, and good thing he didn't have that brain tumor because that's scary as heck getting that news and the possibility of that
Yes.
happening. Because it's like, dude, no, like, I do not need that in my life. I don't want anybody
Yes.
cutting on me. Like, we do not need that here. So being able to make that shift to where it's like you got a more balance, you're focusing more on wellness in your whole life and not making work your whole life. So my goodness, so after getting all that news and being able to pivot to where it's like, okay, I'm actually making sure Christine is a happy Christine. So what changes did you make?
Oh, well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that if you're in that hamster wheel, let's say, where you when you work, and you also enjoy it, yeah, it's not that I didn't enjoy that because it was my business and still is my business, and I absolutely loved and love what I do, because if I don't like something anymore, I let it go. I don't have a problem of keep holding on to someone or something that I don't enjoy anymore. However, it's not easy to switch from a 16-hour day, 7 days a week, to 9 to 5, 5 days a week. You don't make that change overnight. And I'm still working a lot on myself, even though that's been many years ago now. But I started with simple things, let's say, which wasn't so simple at the beginning, to take a lunch break. So not in front of the computer, not eating in front of the computer, but getting away from the computer. I started then to say, I don't really want to work Sundays. So I implemented mindfulness Sundays, where I was switching all technology off. I was telling everyone I knew I'm not reachable on that day. And I just did things that I wanted to do in a mindful day on that day. That might have been hours of cooking. That might have been going for a long walk. It might have been yoga, meditation, going for a run, all kind of things, whatever. It might be painting, whatever came up on that moment that I wanted to do, I did that, but without any, let's say, external influence. And then I said, oh, I don't really want to work Saturdays anymore. So I switched off Saturdays and I was like, I don't want to work evenings. So one step at a time. And instead of working, I then freed up obviously some time to take real quality time with friends and family and a partner. Well, I didn't have a partner back then because obviously I was only working. And so that these are the main changes to create that balance again between that life outside of the other life, work life, let's say, to go there. And then it also kicked off lots of research and the want to know more about happiness, about spirituality. So I got a bit more into spirituality. I got a bit more into, okay, what is actually happiness? What does that mean? Doing lots and lots of research. I became a certified happiness facilitator, there you go, to understand what I can do for others, but also implementing things into my life. And bit by bit, and still working on myself, it's a never-ending journey, of course, I came up with something that works for me, that might work for others, but it's not all the same for one. But yeah, that's that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's actually funny how some changes can work because, yeah, the lunch break thing, it's like, oh, it's actually making sure you get away from the workstation and give your brain a mental break. It basically changed the picture around you, changed the scenery around you. So I was like, okay, it's an actual break. All right, so the screen is not basically becoming attached to me and I'm becoming a cyborg. I'm actually giving myself a break. It's like, care of a cyborg.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen the other day, I've seen something on TV where they were looking, so they were out on the street and they were doing surveys and they were looking at the statistics of the young generation, let's say they were all around 20 or something. And they looked at the stats of how long they spent on social media. So in that case, mainly TikTok and Instagram. And the numbers, I don't even understand how it's possible. Because that means they don't do anything else. Because there was one person who spends 80 hours a week on those social medias. 80. If you look at a normal, let's say, working week, which has maybe 40 hours, what do they do? They just sit at home and do that. They don't go to school. They don't do anything. I don't get my head around that. It's really important to take digital detoxes and get away, not just for radiation point of view, but also for external influences, from just freeing up your mind and do something else that's creative without having a screen attached to it or without getting arthritis in your hands. Yeah,
that's crazy. 80 hours up. Like at first glance, it's like if you're not one of them online marketers or social media experts, is like, how do you spend 80 hours? When you think about it deeply, I wonder if they counted YouTube in that little study, because if they did, it would make even more sense, because like YouTube is basically the new TV, and a lot of social media platforms, they're built to suck up your attention. And if you're not really aware of that, especially for the extra young folks in their teenage years, they're probably gonna like let their time be abducted into that darn screen. So that's still insane regardless, though. It's like 80 hours, that's literally half your week.
I don't get it how you can do that, but anyway, even 3 hours a day or something, I mean, unless it's a weekend. I don't have 3 hours to spend on social media, because you also have to eat. Well, whilst that, I guess people are on social media on their phone, and that's the thing, it's glued to the hand, isn't it? And I understand that, because as the phone became our computer, became our communication tool. I mean, with WhatsApp, everyone is just communicating with WhatsApp. it became our social life in one way or another. And that's really sad. But I also understand, I mean, also from a business point of view, I need a phone and I need a computer, otherwise I won't be able to work. I do understand. So there's a good and the bad, but it's that use technology to your advantage and not be the one that's used by it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Just use the technology, it's right indeed, but don't let it use you, it's right indeed. Just because the phone may be glued to the hand doesn't mean you need to take the glue off. It doesn't have to be Gorilla Glue, y'all, or crazy glue.
Exactly. Exactly.
It
It can be just a
could be.
little tape that you can take off from time to time.
Heck yeah, indeed, heck yeah, indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since you're a fellow podcast host, I always like to ask an obligatory podcast question. So my goodness, so you got this magical show called the Startup Student Podcast with all sorts of great information from experts around the globe. So my goodness, what would you consider your top three lessons learned from running and growing your magical show?
It takes longer than you think to grow. That's lesson number one, because obviously there's so many podcasts out there and there's so many good ones. You have to know your niche. Which niche do you want to go into? That might be your style or that might be a specific topic. So when I did my research on what podcast I wanted to do, because it took me about 2 years before I actually started and taking action steps towards it, because I was lost in what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do another entrepreneurial podcast or something. There's so many good ones out there. There's always a point to do your thing with the way you are. However, yeah, I came up with that idea to aim it at students, extra students at university that want to start their own business, because I was working also with universities to support the students there. And I was like, maybe I could do that. And I only found two that were doing that and they were really horrible. So I thought, oh, that's good. I can do a better one. And then what turns out is that, of course, there's students listening to that podcast, but over the time now, I'm in my third year, I can see in the statistics that's less and less students, but people that are, let's say, mid-30s upwards or 30 upwards, let's say, that are starting their business, because 99% of what I'm talking about in the podcast with my guests is relevant to anyone who wants to start their own business. It was just to find that niche, but I could see that people see the title. Oh yeah, no, I'm not a student of university, but I'm a student of the startup world and of the startup life, basically. So that's quite nice. So it's also nice to be a bit more flexible and see where it goes and then adapt accordingly to what your audience is and wants. And that's what I did. So it was always called like that, but now I also changed the intro and things like that and a bit of the wording. And that seems to work well.
Yes, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Name of the game, got to be a student of the game. That's right, indeed. Student of the game. And then have the do it for the love of the game, too. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because hey, it does take longer than folks expect nowadays. It's like, yeah, on one hand,
Yes.
some folks will be like, everybody and their mom has a podcast. And then you look at statistics, it's like, nah, folks got more books to podcast, buddy. Like, and if they do a podcast, are they still freaking active? And you're in your third year, which is highly commendable indeed. And I hope you keep going with it for a long time indeed to separate yourself from the rest of the pack, because not everybody's built
Yeah.
for it. That's right,
No,
indeed, too.
and I do it for as long as I enjoy it. Same thing. If I stop enjoying it or it's getting too much, then I might change the frequency, because at the moment it's one episode a week, or I might do other things. But I absolutely love my guests. I learn so much from them. So for me, it's like a self-development tool. And that's why I continue doing it. I'm getting inspired. There's so many collaborations that came out of that, also being a guest on podcasts and the other way around. There's so many great relationships and collaborations that came out of that that I absolutely enjoy it, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. Because hey, that's one of the biggest things ever. It's like, hey, when you have a show where you get to have folks guest on there, you get to build up your magical network, you get to have a giant spider web. That's right indeed. giant spider web. It's like, oh, we caught something. Hey, buddy, you're now part of my web now. Don't worry, you don't get eaten here. We just use you to expand the web.
Yeah, you know, true story.
That's a day. Yeah, for the folks that don't see, Christine's got me wrapped up in some spider web right now. She doesn't. She says I'm not supposed to tell folks, but I already did. So yeah, your cover's blown.
So you never know what happens. If you never hear from him again, it wasn't me.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, she lured me in with the smile and the laugh and the positivity and the multiple languages and her being an author, and then she got me. It was crazy. I fell for it. Yeah. Fun question for you. If your fabulous book, at least I believe this is probably the newest at the time of this recording, at least for the English readers, The Happiness Formula, A Practical Guide to Unlocking Your True Happiness Potential. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Maracuja. So passion fruit, as you might call it, because it's sweet, but also sour, and it's my favorite fruit. So that's why.
Oh, okay. Someone's a dragon fruit friend. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Dave's talking about Dave. You said Aracuya?
Yeah, maracuja, oh. So which is the passion fruit. Have you never eaten one? They're amazing. It's full of vitamin C. They're super yummy. And the more strange they look, the better they are inside. So I like that because I'm a bit of a weird person. So they're like shrinkly, shrumbly, like with lots of wrinkles, then the better they are and the riper they are. So I like that because it's a bit like life. The more you went through in life, the more wrinkles you might get, and the wiser you get, maybe. And yeah. Maybe that's a strange analogy that I never made with a passion fruit, but yes.
Ain't nothing wrong with analogies. That's why I pose folks the food question, get folks to think. It's like, hey, when it comes to selling books, folks don't think about taste unless you got a cookbook. So, hey, and they say books are food for the mind, so your book's a passion fruit.
Exactly. And passion fruit is super healthy, and happiness is healthy. So there you go.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's right, indeed. That's right. And your passion can lead you to happiness.
Indeed.
That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. So my goodness. I said you gotta basically. I probably should ask this question earlier, but I'm going to ask it now anyway. So my goodness, you basically got the best of many worlds since you got basically a German background, but you're living in Italy. So it sounds like you have your frequent flyer miles, if not walking miles on top of the flying miles. So what would you consider your biggest lesson learned from all of your world travels that helps you in your entrepreneurial journey today?
Yeah, you have to have a lot of patience and be flexible would be that advice, because if you're traveling, that's one thing, but if you're relocating, there's so many things. I mean, I remember when I moved to the UK, I had an apartment that was furnished, but I didn't have a toilet brush. Funny story. Oh. So shitty story, maybe. Oh, laughing about my own jokes is the best. Anyway, I'm telling you this, and when I moved to Sweden, I needed some batteries. So there's always things that you don't know where you can buy that, because there's different department stores and different names out there, and you don't even know what to search for on Google Maps because you don't know the name. So you have to ask someone, excuse me, where can I buy a battery? Where can I buy this? And where is that? Because you're in that new location. You need to have a lot of patience if you want to also go through a lot of paperwork and things like that, that's attached to moving officially to a country, finding a place that you like. I'm someone who gets comfortable and feels at home super easy and fast. So it takes me about 2 days, but it's just that being patient and flexible. And that also means with maybe some language barriers that you might have. And that means also with the cultures that you come across, because it's very different in Italy. And really, and we're talking stereotypes here, but they exist, these stereotypes, and they are also real in a lot of cases. Italy is very different from the UK, it's very different to Germany, it's very different to Sweden or other places, and that's wonderful. And that's why people travel, because if everything would be the same, no one would travel and it wouldn't be worth it. But yeah, flexibility and patience with a lot of things.
Yeah, sounds like you're a doctor. Patience was a big theme. It's a past conversation. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So she's a doc who also does yoga, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Help you to stay. Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right, Christina. Help you be flexible in business, y'all. She'll help you do a tree pose in your business. Mm-mm. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we can maybe do that.
Yeah, maybe even a pigeon pose. That's right indeed.
Yeah, maybe they're very difficult.
Yeah. But hey, not difficult for you. That's right. You'll have people doing the crow in no time. Oh, stop.
I don't know. The crow, I don't even get. But that stretch is already difficult. I'm all about unicorns, but not like in the startup world, like billion-dollar companies or something. But Gavin, my fluffy unicorn, that's my co-founder. So I'm more about also unleashing your inner weirdo and being who you are. Really, because it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Hashtag wonderful is right. It's right indeed. She may say weirdo, but I say freaking creative person. That's right indeed. Creative person indeed. She's creative indeed. Right indeed. Creative folks are the best folks indeed. That's right indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Everything happens for a reason, and everything will make sense at some point. Because there's lots of things that everything serves as well. So everything happens for a reason. It will make sense. And everything that you're going through in life, good or bad, serves you in the end and makes the wonderful person that you are.
There you go. That's right indeed. So that means there's a reason why I listen to this podcast, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And Christine was sharing some magical gems indeed. And the beautiful thing is, it's probably only 1% of what she actually knows. So for those who need to dive into the other 99% of what Christine has to offer, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Best way is to find me on creativestartupacademy.com. And there you find my social media, which I'm most active on LinkedIn. Feel free to connect with me. But yeah, there you can find my books, you can find the magazine, you can find about me, you can find beautiful pictures of myself and my fluffy unicorn.
Well, there you have it, y'all. That's right, indeed. One day we're going to get that cowboy hat wearing Christine on a unicorn picture. We're going to get it someday. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's going to say giddy up, y'all. That's right, indeed. It's going to be good times.
Well, with AI, I'm sure I can make up that picture within 5 minutes right now if someone wants to, but yes.
there we go. I knew you had it in you. That's right, indeed. That's right. Oh, thank Allen Iverson. That's right, indeed. AI, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. So you heard that right, folks. And be sure to cop some copies of her magical books, too, because they're freaking great, indeed. That's right, indeed. And funny thing is, she's got dinner for the mind, y'all. So that's right. So it ain't just about pasta at dinner time. It's actually dinner for your mind, too. And that's just one of the many. So cop them. That's right, indeed. Add them to your bookshelf. That's right. Maybe put yourself on the bookshelf next to the book. So that way, it can be some real shelf help, indeed. Well, we got to have you back on the show in the future. So my goodness, any parting word before we close up shop, Christine?
No, just thank you for having me and thank you for listening, everyone. I'm sure you're a most amazing human being and I'm so blessed to have had this conversation with you, getting to know you a bit better as well, having a good time. And that's what it's all about. We have this one life for now, who knows, depending on what you believe in, but make the most out of that.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.